You see, it's time for the church to really understand the kingdom and what the kingdom is all about, because Jesus spent so much time when he came. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the kingdom is not heaven, and heaven is not the kingdom. Heaven is a location. The kingdom is the lifestyle of heaven, with a set of laws and rules, etc., which I just want to open up. Because some of us are in line for God to bless you, but because we don't understand, seek ye first the kingdom and what that really means, we step outside of the opportunity to be blessed of God. Because God will not change his laws to meet your desire if your desire doesn't line up with his laws. Amen. So today, I want to talk about the mandate of the Holy Spirit in the relation of that the Spirit of God brings the kingdom. Okay? So in order to do that, hey, I can feel the presence of the Lord here. It's every meeting is different. I tell you something. It makes me think of when I just got saved. You know, when they say the church had two meetings, I was so hungry. I stayed for both because I didn't think both were the same. Because I just wanted everything that God wanted me to have. I, in fact, committed myself right from the early days of my conversion. I committed Sunday to whole day church. In fact, if the church ended and I found that there was another church having a meeting, I said, I'm gonna pop in there and go sit at the back. I just wanted everything. Sometimes I think I left more confused. But I fell in love with Jesus and his people. How many of you know what is first in your life? And I know it's a great thing to say, I want God to be first. Amen? I want God to be first in my life. But you have to understand what is first for God before you make God the person first. Because whatever is first in his life should be first in yours. Because that's what's important for him. He is important to me, but what is important is what is important for him. And when I align myself with what is important for him, I will always live in the perfection of his will. Because what is important for him is first for God, in spite of me wanting God to be first. Amen. Are you with me? What is first for God is you. His mind is full of you. Everyone sitting in the building, God thinks you cool. God thinks you powerful. God thinks you valuable enough not to not think of you whole day. Well, maybe your husband never thought about you this morning. It's okay. Don't feel depressed. God is thinking of you. We'll get there. Maybe your wife didn't say you look handsome. It's okay. It's all right. God thinks that you are worth dying for, man. Come on. I just want to get away all that negative stuff that stops us from being blessed of God. Amen. So what is first to God is people, you. So when I come here, I know God made Jesus the priority to reach you. So Jesus is God's idea of reaching the world. That's why it's Moses, my people, Joshua, my people, not Moses, your ministry, or Moses, your calling. No, I'm going to bless you, Moses, to bless my people. I want them out of Egypt. I hate the idea that they're still in Egypt. Even up till today, God does not agree with you being a slave to anything that doesn't give you life. He will fight for you. That's why he fights our battles for us. But if I make people first in my life, Jesus and the Holy Spirit will show up. Because we're making what's first for Father God our first. It's amazing how people took us away from loving people. They might be the toughest family on the earth is God's church. They're still the best. Never forget this. I'm going to say it now. God loves the world, but he's marrying the church. Believe me. He's given five gifts. The ascended Christ gave five gifts to get you looking good. So he must put a lot of emphasis on you and the welfare of your family, your life. Amen? Now, I've said a lot of nice things. Let's get to the word that God watches over. Amen. Go with me. Before we can talk about the kingdom, we must visit Jesus first. Because he built a church and then he spoke about the kingdom. So go with me to John chapter 19 and verse 30. And let's look at the birth of this woman called the church. Verse 30 of John chapter 19. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Look at verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Man, I tell you, I enjoyed the Bible school, the EBI. When you read about blood and water, I get another dynamic, and I just need to stay focused. You see, at the cross, Jesus dies, and then after he dies, a Roman soldier comes to the cross and pierces his side, and blood and water flowed out of it, out of his side. That is a very important place to just pause. Because it's not like the Roman soldier just have to check if he is really dead, but he has to fulfill the prophetic directive, which he doesn't even know about. There's a lot of stuff we do, we don't even know we're fulfilling prophecy. Even coming to church, you don't even know that you're fulfilling something that you have no understanding of yet. But we are a people of destiny and not just a people of giftedness. We're going somewhere and we're going to get there powerfully. And we're going to get there as overcomers. But when this Roman soldier pierces the side of Jesus, water and blood comes out of the side. And that is a sign of natural yet supernatural birthing. Because you need water and blood for a place of birth. And we'll go there a little bit later. But this is in fulfillment of what happens to the first Adam. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21 and 22. Somebody say with me, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Oh, I love that portion of scripture. It's amazing for the men that are unmarried. Let God just make you sleep a little, he'll bring your woman to you. But she's coming out of you. You see, sleeping to God is how God defines death. That's why after death, there's resurrection. After you sleep in the morning, you must wake up, isn't it? And you're never going to tell God there's no resurrection. Because every night you die. Every morning you rise by His grace, right? Secondly, let me help you a little bit further. There's everybody fast every day and break the fast in the morning with breakfast. Because you sleep, you don't eat. You don't eat through the night. Amen. For those of us who have passion to eat right through the night, God bless you. But Adam has to sleep. Adam has to die. And then God takes out of the side of Adam, the first Adam, he takes out of his side and he produces a woman. I like the teachings that prophet brings to the house. You know, he says a woman is designed by God for multiplication. And it's so true. If there's no woman in the planet, there's no reproduction, folks. That's why I'm going to speak at some occasion, invited to speak about the attack on the male seed. That's the title I gave them. But what am I saying? I'm trying to tell you that God brings a woman out of the side of the man, and then the laws changes. But then at Calvary's cross, Jesus, the last Adam, has to die before this woman comes out of his side. Before the church is birthed. So at Calvary, the church is birthed, and Jesus says, it is finished. And there's many things that he finished at Calvary's cross. He finished my destiny into heaven at Calvary's cross. He gave me power over all the power of the enemy at Calvary's cross. He also secured that you would have an identity at Calvary's cross. He also made sure that heaven could be your home at Calvary. So there's many things that he said and related to it is finished. But one of the things he mentions about being finished is the church he said, I will build. How can Jesus teach us that if you set out to do something and you don't finish it, you have not counted the cost, the scripture says. If you've not counted the cost and you did not finish it, Jesus said you will be the laughing stock of the neighborhood. Look at this man, he started something and never finished it. So at Calvary's cross, he cannot say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it if he didn't finish it. So Calvary, it is finished, means you can't preach better than Jesus, brother. You can't drive out better the way Jesus drove out demons. Can you do much better than he did? Can you really have a model for small groups better than Jesus went from house to house? You can't improve on what he did. The church is settled. The church has a commission from him to continue a finished work. So that's why I can wear this jacket, because it's finished. The sleeves are on. If the sleeves were not on, I'm not wearing it. It's incomplete. But how do I live in the next level that the church is birthed? Look how Jesus deals. You remember the scripture? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Now, many folks think that forgive them is the Roman soldiers that stood there. The guy who pierced his side, forgive them. Pilate beating him up, allowing him to be beaten up, forgive them. Folk, family, it had very little to do with the people that were standing at the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. Let me show you where the them is. Go with me. Yo, I feel the Holy Spirit here. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Listen to what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And look at the next line. And let who rule? What does the Bible say? And let them have dominion. When Jesus is at the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, this is the them he's referring to. Because he never deals with the fruit of the them, he deals with the root of the them. So at Calvary's cross, he's saying whatever Adam and Eve, the last Adam says, Father, forgive them. Because we are the fruit of their fall. So God in Christ deals with the root so that you and I can lift up our head and say, you are holy, you are awesome, you are wonderful, you are glorious. And we couldn't do it before until we got to Calvary. Amen. I can see you just went quiet right there, but it's okay. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. Go with me to John chapter 3, verse 5. And we get to the kingdom. Jesus says, he answers, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Wow. I thought maybe if he's not born again, cannot enter the what? The kingdom. What is Jesus really meaning when he says that? You see, the kingdom has to do with a birthing experience. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. He says to Nicodemus, except you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. And unfortunately, for many years, we've always made the kingdom look like it's a place called heaven. Let me show you what the kingdom really is. The kingdom is made up of many facets. Like every kingdom must have a military base, isn't it? Every kingdom. We have our military base. I'm going to take us there tonight, how to use the weapons of our kingdom. I'm on a mission in my 40 years to get rid of that devil in every home. That's me, really, to be honest with you. I'm on that mission this year to make 100% sure, God, whatever you've placed in me, let me educate your people how to come from a lifestyle in the kingdom of darkness and enjoy the lifestyle of the kingdom of God. How we can get there and enjoy just living again and dreaming again. Now listen, you see, water serves many, many symbolism in the Bible, but one of them is separation. You know, this birth separates you from your mother, isn't it? But there's water and blood that separates you. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, you will see God separates the waters. Water is also a sign of being separated. That's why baptism is not a ritual. Baptism is not a membership into a church. Baptism is the water separating you, like the Red Sea had to separate every Israelite from Egypt. It's got nothing to do with God. When I get baptized, maybe my drug addiction will stop. No, baptism does not release you from drugs. The blood will deliver you. Jesus saves, not baptism. Baptism is your indication. I've separated myself from a lifestyle that does not bring glory to God to a lifestyle that will honor the King who died for me and shed his blood for me. So it's not about, is it a church tradition? No, it's a place of separation so that you can live in the fullness of God. Even if there's famine, God can still be my blessing. Even if there is no bread in my cupboard, I can still find the next door neighbor, cut me a slice of bread. I can still live the day out because of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Yes, we have a military section. We have got an economic section to our kingdom. But all of that would mean nothing unless you know the lifestyle of the kingdom. I want to take you there. Is that okay? You see, the kingdom is defined by Jesus. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Some of you are going to get your freedom this morning from things you've been trusting God for, but it hasn't happened yet. It's coming. Sometimes you're going to see from what I'm going to say next how many of the things you have been doing that are stopping the blessing of God from getting to you. Listen, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus answers, he says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the beautiful part here is, Jesus says, our Father is in heaven. In other words, what he is saying to Peter, James, John, and the disciples, he's saying when you are praying, every one of your prayers are not answered from the synagogue. It comes from heaven. God answers from heaven every prayer. Up till today, ask my Father who is in heaven. Agree upon anything on the earth, and it shall be done of my Father who is in heaven. So this place, this day, heaven is not in this place. The kingdom's presence is in this place. Because if God had to put his throne here, heaven would have no throne. No, the throne is always occupied. But look at this. We battle sometimes with the Father is in heaven, but listen what Jesus is saying. When I want you to pray, Neville, I want you to pray for the kingdom to come. Well, Jesus, then teach me, what do you mean about the kingdom coming and not the church? No, the church, I'm going to finish the church. But the Holy Ghost is going to bring the kingdom. You got to work with the Holy Spirit to make sure the kingdom is in the earth. I don't need the kingdom in heaven. I need my presence to be in the earth. How will they know that we are here? Moses have asked that. I didn't say it in the first service. But Moses asked him, how will they know that you are our God? How will we be distinguished from them? And the Lord answered, my presence. So how do I have the presence of God today? Look at Galatians 5. I'll show you two lifestyles, and then you can determine which one are you wanting to live out. Amen. Go with Galatians 5:21. We know the scripture. The scripture is all about the works of the flesh being evident. Say with me, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is making a very serious statement here. He's saying this lifestyle does not allow you to have an inheritance of the kingdom of God lifestyle. Because all of that you are hearing from Paul is a behavior. It's what people do. And if you do this, this is not what God will honor. Therefore, he says, you cannot inherit the kingdom. And then he brings out what the kingdom's lifestyle is all about. Look at verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now listen, against such there is no law. Notice something, he brings out the kingdom and he brings out laws. So the laws of the kingdom is very, very clear. It is defined by our behavior. How many of you know if you have any of the behavioral patterns of Galatians 5:21 and 22, you know this is not our kingdom. Does our kingdom have murder in it? No. You have a whole lot of activities in Galatians chapter 5 as to the things that people do that does not allow them to have two worlds of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness at the same time. Because the behavior is different in the kingdom of darkness. Look how busy that devil is with many stuff to bind you. Yet in our kingdom there's only 9 things. Love, joy, peace. Wow. How many of you know there's not one person in this building that does not feel good when they feel loved? Hello? So why do you want to still go into a lifestyle that steals, kills, and destroys when you can have a lifestyle of kingdom lifestyle, abundant life? All the stuff that Paul mentions in the kingdom of darkness is designed to stop you from acting and overcoming lifestyle. So he says, against these there's no law. I like the way Jesus addresses these things. See, the kingdom of God is about behavior and lifestyle that honors the nature and character of God. See, this behavior and lifestyle is revealed in the Bible. I said to some guys in other parts where I've been ministering, I don't need any government in the world to teach me moral values. I've got a Bible. Oh, yes. We can't let governments in the world tell us how to behave ourselves. Jesus might have failed if they are now going to do that with us. You mean Jesus is not enough? We need some department to tell us how to morally behave ourselves. Don't rape our children. You don't need to tell us that. We won't rape children. We grow up our kids in the ways of the Lord. And that law is because my kingdom does not encourage what your kingdom is telling me to do. You bring abortion into our homes, that's your law, but that's not the law of our kingdom. The law of our kingdom is that we will raise up our children and God will look after them. In our law, we don't take our lives. We are needed and therefore we're not needy. You see, it's a lifestyle that doesn't make us arrogant. It just helps us to understand. That's why we pay taxes in our country to sustain other citizens. You bring your tithe to the house to sustain the citizens of the kingdom. Wow.
Oh, we want to give the money to him.
Yeah, Brother, you can't just come every Sunday to church, man. In our kingdom, we don't push money. You should. The government doesn't even ask you for your tax money. It takes it. Yeah, we must preach on it. Wow. But look at this. Let me take you to Jesus and Pilate, and then I'm going to close. Go with me to John chapter 18. Verse 33. Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Listen how Jesus answers him. I just simply love Jesus' communication with any human being. He's just one of a kind. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, and Jesus says to him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you something concerning me?" Imagine you are facing death, you are asking questions about how did you find out about me? Why? Because he knows what he was born for. When you don't know your purpose, you are open for many discussions and opinions. And he says, did somebody talk to you about me, or is this something you have a revelation of about me? In other words, did you come to church today because somebody told you about Jesus, or do you have a conviction of your own personal hunger for him? Or have you come because if I die today, there must be a church to bury me? My dear loving woman, they will bury you without your permission. No, I must come to church so at least I belong somewhere. No, did you come because you are convicted that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Or did somebody just tell you about him? And if somebody told you about him, may this be the hour in which you have an encounter with him. As he stands before Pilate, he says, did somebody tell you about me, or is this your own conviction? Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate answers, am I a Jew? You, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? If you read the chapter, you know the story. Pilate tried more than three times, I think, to convince the crowd Jesus is not a criminal. There's nothing he did that was wrong. But Pilate comes back to Jesus on one of the occasions. Let me just go there. He says, do you know who I am? He asked Jesus. Do you know who I am? Do you know that I have the power to release you or have you crucified? Do you know that I have that power? For a person that's facing death, Jesus says, you have no power or authority but the authority given to you from above. And then the nail in the coffin. Are you then a king? Are you a king? I like the way these documents of this discussions of Jesus is getting out into the world right now. He's coming, folk. Believe me, he's going to empower us to do. Did you see in Empower Church how God is accelerating you? Couple of, say, 2 years ago, it was just Pretoria. Jesus. Now it's Durban. And then you do that in what? Boom. You know how long it took me just to build the first church? 20 years. Now the acceleration of God is like 8 churches in P. Right? What am I saying? God is busy accelerating what he's doing because of this one statement. Listen. Am I a Jew? What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants' behavior is they would fight. I'm just adding their behavior because fighting is a behavior. Right? My servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice. Jesus ends that part of the conversation, says, you know, are you saying that I'm a king? I cannot deny the truth. The truth is, I am the king and I have a kingdom. You remember when they cut off Malchus's ear? Right? Peter was possibly a gangster at the time. But nevertheless, he walked with Jesus with a sword. So, in any case, he rips out the sword, takes Malchus's ear off. Jesus puts the ear back. But must see what Jesus says. Jesus says, Peter, come on. Peter. I don't think Jesus was so, Peter, what dost thou doeth? See, we create a spiritual God in the way we perceive him. We want to make him holy. He's holy without you and me. And yet he hangs out with us. Isn't that wonderful? He loves you. And I look at how Jesus says, Peter, do you know what? If I wanted to, I could summon a legion of angels to sort this out. Why? He's the king. And his kingdom, firstly, before you can get blessed with everything of his kingdom, you must understand the lifestyle of his kingdom. Because the lifestyle of his kingdom causes him to release. If you break the lifestyle of not paying tax in this country, SARS is going to lock you up after a while. The same principle, take Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, because I want to pray for God's blessing that has been kept to get to you. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You know the scripture. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what Jesus is saying, seek the kingdom with its lifestyle. Become a lifestyle kingdom, evidence of God in the earth. In other words, remember the day you got saved? They don't know how you're coming home because they always expected the worst. Then you find the king. Hallelujah. And you come into your house, even the dog is wagging its tail, saying, he's changed. He's definitely changed. Something happened. Your wife can't understand that you walk in. Other times, you would be so irritated by everything. But when you meet the king and his kingdom lifestyle, all of a sudden, honey, you look good today. You look wonderful. I think you are the woman God always, please forgive me for all the times I gave you a hard time. And she says, he must be charuk. There's something wrong with him. He doesn't know. No, there's something. Lovey, where were you? And I come from church. Really? Since when do you go to church? You see, the kingdom lifestyle shocks people who are still in the kingdom of darkness. But when we come out of that kingdom, we come with something that's more powerful than money, more powerful than numbers. It's about a lifestyle that basically says, I can love again. I can dream again. I can forgive the unforgivable. I can live with the unlivable. And I can touch the untouchable. Because in our kingdom, it's a lifestyle. That's why I'm not scared to go into areas. That's why they don't understand you, brother. They say to you, that guy took all your money in your business. And somebody comes and says, forgive them. He says, no. No, we will take responsibility, but don't let bitterness enter your spirit. Be righteous in the dealings, but don't let bitterness, because it's not part of the lifestyle of our kingdom. Truthful and righteous dealings, yes, but don't let bitterness get into you. Why? Look at the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you cannot have a lifestyle that does not align with the lifestyle of the kingdom and expect me to bless you in another kingdom when you carry other kingdom lifestyles with you. Then you come and you get deceived. You go and says, no, I'm going to put my tithe in today. I'm going to sow a seed into the next project. And God wants to bless you. And God says, hey, you're stopping me from getting the things to you because you have two lifestyles. And you don't have to be a social misfit because you want to live like Jesus. You can play rugby with Jesus in you, but take Jesus to the rugby field. Take Jesus into the medical field. Take Jesus into government. Take Jesus with you where He has placed you. And I tell you something, they're going to trust you more.
I think I should just say this. I have a Jewish owner of a company. They ask him, why does he employ only Christians? Because he found this discriminating, man. How can you get up here in this meeting and say, I only employ Christians? And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, he's Jewish. So, well, of course, the natural thing is, why would you only employ Christians? He says, Christians have a conscience. He says, even if they took a paper clip, they feel terrible. They will come to me and say, can I take the paper clip? And I'm thinking, you take up my time for a paper. But he says, you know what it is? It's that they have a conviction that I myself don't have. And I looked at him and I thought, you just don't understand the power of the King and His kingdom, the lifestyle. Tonight I'm going to speak about, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, the kingdom has come near you. And how to use the weapons of the kingdom to break the strongholds of fear. Maybe this is not going to happen. My home, my family. I'm in that mood, folk. We're coming in this building tonight to fight for what belongs to us. And then we're going to separate ourselves from anything that tries to infiltrate our kingdom blessing. Is that okay? And it's going to cost you a little bit. I just want to be honest with you. You see, to separate you from something you feel justified to hold on to, it's going to cost you to leave it for the kingdom. Because it's His kingdom come and it's His will be done. The moment you step into His kingdom, His will is more important than your will. Amen? I want you to rise to your feet just for a moment, and I want us just to pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Some of us are going to have to make decisions today to come out of a lifestyle that is stopping your blessing. The things that must be added to us are not stopped by you. It's stopped by our lifestyle. Can we just pray in the Spirit right where you are? Pray out loud. Just trust God. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to reveal certain things to you. And when He puts it in your mind, that's the stuff you're going to separate yourself from. Things that in your heart you are worried about. There's no peace in you. The Lord will open it up. Don't worry. We're not going to ask you what it is. The Spirit of God will come with the lifestyle of the kingdom. Love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness will break the strongholds of the enemy this morning. Karaboshe karamosa papapariyase karayandeyo. Ribosha karabasa karamanda, riba karaboshi ramosa papapanda. Father, Jesus said we must pray, your kingdom must come. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. Oh, I'm so expectant this morning for every house, every man, every woman in this building to be separated from the kingdom of darkness and to step into your kingdom where your lifestyle helps us to be overcomers. And how you've helped us to live this way, it's unbelievable, Lord. That's right, just pray out loud. Just pray in the Spirit.